Guys, welcome to Better Bachelor. My name is Joker, and tonight we're going to be talking about a new law that may be coming to New York City. And if you happen to fabricate something or lie about your current relationship with somebody, or that you, if you say, hey, I'm really a lawyer and I'm successful and you're able to bed a woman, and then turns out you're lying and you're not a successful lawyer, now they want to make that against the law. If you guys remember, New York City is also the same place that said, hey, if a woman's had a drink or two, she can no longer consent to bedroom fun because, well, you see, she might regret it and she's not in control of her own actions. And that's a thing. So the problem with this one is it can go both ways. And so if a woman says that she is single and she's really married, and she might be lying, and this bill is going to work against that too. Problem is, I don't think they've thought this one all the way through. So let me first jump to an image that I found on one of the Reddits, and it shows feminism dressed as the Grim Reaper. And of course, marriage, it's done with marriage. It's gone through the family unit. It's gone through the concept of love. And it's now at the last door, which says men's desire to interact with women. This is becoming a thing. I was reading that, of course, and I talked about this in a video a while ago, where men no longer want to mentor women. Men do not want to be left alone in a room with a woman. Even if it's an employee-employer situation where they need to talk to somebody, they feel comfortable bringing in somebody else to be in the room with them. Hey, this is what you get. If you make all the laws that women are need to be treated like children because they can't be trusted, and men are uncomfortable around them and they don't want to be falsely accused of something, men are going to be smart and they're going to protect themselves. Now, the problem is this may make a lot of women feel like, hey, I should be trusted. I'm not one of these people that would ever do that. But you have to look at it from the men's perspective, which is any woman can possibly do this. So I must protect myself. And therefore, I'm going to make sure that somebody else is around. And given the opportunity, I'm leery of hiring a woman that might have to work alone with me. And in the long run, it's going to hurt a lot of kind of everyday women. And this is kind of the slapback against the also me movement. So moving on to the deceiving your partner. This is from, April 8th. So that's 2 days ago now, from Reason. Deceiving your bedroom partner would be a crime under new bill backed by New York Democrats. And let me just get to the meat of it here. Obtaining bedroom fun through deception, concealment, or artifice could violate consent. A group of New York lawmakers is trying to redefine consent in a way that would make it a crime to be less than fully truthful with your partners. Under the new proposal, antics now considered merely caddish or immoral, like lying to a prospective partner about one's relationship status, social standing. In other words, if you're saying that you're more popular or more financially stable or better off than you really are, that's a no-no now. And future intentions. In other words, saying, well, I'm really looking for a long-term relationship. And then you're with her and you're like, I changed my mind. I was just looking for one night of fun. They're now trying to say that that's going to be a misdemeanor. It's going to count as a criminal misconduct. Now in committee, Assembly Bill A6540, sponsored by Assemblymember Rebecca Seawright, Democrat, co-sponsored by three other Democratic lawmakers, would amend New York State's penal code to define consent as freely given, knowledgeable, and informed agreement that is obtained without the use of malice, such as forcible compulsion, duress, coercion, deception, fraud, concealment, and artifice. Something that's interesting here is that basically they're trying to now be moral police. And if you think about it, when you go on a date with somebody and you talk to them and you get to know them, eventually, however many dates it is that you get to the bedroom fun, that's the time where you're supposed to iron out red flags, find out if someone's lying to you or not being honest, and generally see if there's somebody that you'd like to be with. Now they're trying to make getting the law involved. And what people don't understand is the more that the law gets involved in, the less people are going to be interested in participating. So if a guy says, hey, if she has a couple of drinks and she can say that, oh, I didn't give consent because I was a little tipsy, New York puts in a law that, hey, if she has one or two drinks and says she wasn't able to consent now, and now you're breaking the law. So guys say, okay, well, I can't go on a date and now have a drink or two with her. It's coffee, and if she has a glass of wine or two during dinner, that's it. I'm not going to take her back to my place and have any fun. Now, going at this point, you're saying, well, people can't lie when they get in a relationship. Okay, now being that this is brought forward by a woman and by, I think, two or three other women are kind of jumping in on this to support it, you can't just make it a one-way law saying that, well, if a man lies about this or if a man's not honest, it's got to be equal. Well, guess what happens? What happens when women start lying about this stuff? Now, you can say, well, they should be held to the same account, and they should be, but do you really think they're going to be? Or is it going to be like, oh, well, we're just going to let her go with community service, but a guy's going to get a harsher punishment? We know this happens in a lot of cases where the law applies to both men and women, but there's not parity when it comes to charging people. They follow up with this. This could open the floodgates of criminal prosecution and civil suits involving any number of wrong but incredibly common situations among partners. Telling a prospective bedroom partner that you're single when you're actually married or in a relationship would seem to fit the bill. So too would trying to get laid by professing more interest in a future relationship than one actually has. Women could be guilty for lying about contraceptive use or menstrual cycles, and men for lying about having a vasectomy. Now, that's interesting because we know a lot of times that women can be dishonest when it comes to that because guys have been trapped in that before. But here's the problem. How do you prove that she wasn't on it? I mean, it's very hard to prove a negative. You know, she can go to a doctor and she can have the prescription and just stop taking them. And then it's when she all of a sudden has a kid or says, hey, I'm pregnant. She can pop out all the pills that she missed, throw them in the trash or flush them down the toilet and be like, oh, no, I mean, look here. You can see I'm right up through last Tuesday and I've been taking them. So this is going to be a whole mess of problems. Now, what is a common solution for a lot of this stuff? Well, especially if you're in New York, and I don't know if this is just for the city itself or if it's for the whole state. There's two options you have. Hey, I'm going to leave Looneyville. I'm going to get out of New York, which a lot of people have been doing because of all the lockdowns during the bug. Or a lot of guys are going to say, you know something? The more the law gets involved with my relationships, the more the law gets involved in my bedroom, the more the law gets involved in just dating in general, the less interest I have in this and the less I want to participate. Now, a lot of guys say, well, yeah, but it won't happen to me or the odds are very low, and they'll still go out and date. And yeah, maybe statistically it is low, but you know, I mean, it's something like a one in a, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of chances of winning the lottery, but someone wins it. Well, what are the odds that you meet somebody that may do something or lie or manipulate or use the system against you? As I talked about in one of my previous videos just from 2 or 3 days ago, something like in Democratic run areas, something like 58.6% of women have profess that they've been told by a medical professional that they have a mental health issue. What that issue is, I don't know, but when you're closing in on 60% of women in very liberal, left-leaning areas, this is something to take into account. The odds start going up that a woman will use or leverage the law against a guy that she feels wronged her, and she will have no problems doing so. So maybe it does happen that a guy actually fibbed or stretched the truth a little bit about his intentions or something like that. Well, now you can get a misdemeanor. Now you can get a criminal record versus just being called a jerk and a bad guy. And when it comes to women doing this stuff, are they going to uphold it to the same convictions, or are they going to prosecute it at the same rate that they do men? I have to say, I doubt it. I really, really doubt it. They continue on. Trying to win over a date by saying you have a better job than you actually do, live in a nicer place, or went to a better school could become a crime if the date slaps that with you. Any half-truths or even omissions about your social or financial status could possibly count as an artifice or concealment. So could lying or concealing information about one's race, ethnicity, religion, etc. Someone might try to sue or press charges based on the idea of makeup, Botox, chesticle implants, and similar measures to enhance one's appearance should count as illegal artifice that negates consent. It also seems likely that people could attempt to use the law against different gendered nonconforming people. So this is an interesting thing that they bring up. Now, again, they're kind of spitballing this. This isn't what's in the law. But what if a guy were to say, hey, you know something? I'm dating this girl. She has a certain figure and her face is certain, has a certain look to it. And I wanted to maybe marry her and have kids someday and come to find out she doesn't look like her genetics are completely different than what she looks like now because of Botox and implants and a nose job and all this other stuff. And I think there was maybe it was in China or Japan. There was actually a guy that was really upset because his wife had a lot of plastic surgery to look very pretty. They got married and the kids turned out not so pretty. Their kids were kind of ugly. And he ended up trying to take her to court for messing with it because his belief was, look, hey, she's certain looks. I'm certain looks. Our kids should have certain looks. And she fooled me. And now the kids are not so good looking. Well, would they be able to stretch the law to say, hey, you've got implants and that's falsely representing your true self? I mean, it is a lie. You had a lot of makeup on the night I met you, and now I see what you look like without makeup, and I don't want to date you anymore. And then she can say, well, he falsely said this, that he wanted a girlfriend, and he can say, well, she falsely represented herself by wearing a push-up bra and too much makeup. Like this, again, this kind of stuff, when you try to get the courts and law to make everything fair and everything equitable, it doesn't work out for anyone in the long run. And it becomes a superficial, litigious society. This is where it's going. Now, again, what do a lot of guys say? You know what? I don't want to live in an area that's like that, or I'm just tapping out. They say the New York bill isn't the first time lawmakers have tried something like this. For a while, there's been a consistent but marginalized attempt to make a bedroom fun by deception or inappropriate bedroom fun by fraud, a crime. For instance, a New Jersey legislator attempted in 2014 to criminalize an act of penetration to which a person has given consent because the actor has misrepresented the purpose of the actor of represented he is someone he is not, and the attempt failed. In other words, kind of the same thing. Him saying, I'm a successful businessman, I'm a millionaire, and he's neither one of those things, and that was enough to get the woman to get into bed. They give kind of a more descriptive part of the law here. I'm not going to read it because it's got a lot of adult words that YouTube doesn't like that I say, but they go on to say that basically the C rights measure is being championed by two women, Terrell Wolf and Dawn Dunning, who testified at Mr. Weinstein's trial last year in California, and that the movie mogul, HW, I can't say his name because YouTube has a thing on here, of course, because they do. And in part of that final statement at the sentencing, he commented that he felt confused. And he thinks that most men are confused. So by defining this consent, there will be no more confusion. In other words, he said, I don't know what the laws are. I feel confused about, like, what can I say? What can I not say? What is going to be deemed as harmful or misrepresenting myself? And they say, well, this law is going to correct that. The problem is, does it really? Or can it also be used against women as well? I mean, if a guy goes to a gym and he builds up muscle, is there a point where you say, well, you know, he's really kind of fat and slobby, but he went to the gym and he got healthy and then we started dating and then he became a fat slob again? Or same thing for a woman. At what point do you say, well, this is not a misrepresentation? I just do not understand how they think this is going to work. They continue on. It's hard to see how adding all sorts of new layers to the definition of consent and vague new ways to violate it, what exactly is artifice in this context, will make things less confusing. There's no doubt, however, that it would make it easier for law enforcement to define people as offenders and attempt to prosecute them. When will people learn that defining a broader and broader category of behavior as criminal doesn't actually help or stop certain bad actions or increase justice on those bad actions? It just funnels more people into the criminal justice system and creates new opportunities for law enforcement, harassment, discrimination, and harm. And I think that boils it up, you know, quite well. There's not a lot to drill down to. It hasn't gone through all the way. But what happens when a woman does say that she's using something for birth control and she's not? What happens when a woman is married and she ends up, now is a guy gonna take her to the law? More than likely not. This is usually how women tend to get even with a guy that they're upset about, is they get the courts and the law, where men are usually like, I mean, most men understand, at least the way we are in society today, is, hey, like any problems that I have, I got to fix myself. I got to blame myself. They have to take a little bit more accountability. Most guys do. And we know that women do not have not all women, I mean, but many women don't have the same problem going right forward to the court systems or to the law or to a college or to their friends and socially wiping out a guy on social media just so they can say, I wanted to get even with him and I have no problems doing that. I think this is going to be a problem. And even if it does pass, it's going to be used against men more than it is against women because, well, that's just how these things go. All right, let's move on to our dating profile of the day. All right, this gal is 31. She's into shopping, wine, films, photography, and baking. I have seen a lot of you are sending me dating profiles like this, and they're not really a dating profile. They're almost an advertisement. It says, well, I'm a mom of two boys. I'm not looking for hookups. I have tattoos. Want to know more? Just ask. Not interested, but want to subscribe to my OnlyFans account? Message me. Now, here's the thing. I get the fact that women are opening OnlyFans because they're like, hey, you know what? I can put some photos out there. Maybe this is a way I can make some money. And you know what? Hey, don't hate the player, hate the game. And if women can make money doing this from idiot guys that want to spend money towards it, go ahead. You know, there are some thirsty guys that will pay money for the girlfriend experience and all that stuff. If they want to waste their money on this, go ahead. For me, I call it a waste. For some of you, you may say, hey, you know what? I like the girlfriend experience. It allows me to stay single and happy. And for me, it works for $5 or $10 a month. You do you, man. I got no problems with that. But now dating profiles are turning into check me out on Snapchat, check me out on Instagram, check out my OnlyFans, check out my spicy web video stuff. They're not even a dating profile. All they're doing is advertising their products to sell to guys. Guys, I will say it more and more and more. The more that you don't participate in this, the more that you step back, the more that you're off the dating apps, the more that you're not hooking up with women or asking women out, the better overall I think it will get, because there's going to get a saturation point. The other day I was talking to another buddy of mine up in North Carolina, and we were kind of having a laugh because I said, down here in my area, there are women that go to the gym with full makeup on. And when I mean full makeup, like I mean the powdered base, lipstick, eyeliner, fake lashes. They're in their tight little yoga outfits. They do look very good because they've got on yoga pants and everything's sticking out and they've got their makeup on. They look like they're ready for the club, except they're in gym workouts. And they're literally curling nothing. They're like sitting there like this. They're on their phone while one arm's curling 5 pounds, 3 pounds. They're doing absolutely nothing. And they're moving on the machines or going near the weights where other relatively attractive guys are working out. Or I'll say even, you know, good-looking guys. They're good-looking guys. They got their earphones on. They're working out. They're pretty buff. They're in good shape. And here's what's interesting. I've noticed, because I kind of sit back and watch this stuff. I don't sit there and stare, but you know, I'm kind of I like watching people. I'm a people watcher type of guy. And I'll get somewhere and I'll kind of be hanging back watching the interaction. And the women are floating to be near a couple of guys working out. And they may say like, oh, are you using that weight? And the guy's like, no, go ahead. But what I find interesting is the men are not starting interaction with these women. Guys aren't like, oh, hey, how you doing? Or you need help on that? Or can I give you some advice? Nope, the guys are in their own world. They got their headphones on. They're working out. They're focused on that. And then they go on to the next machine without even, I mean, if they glance at her, it's very quick in the mirror. When she's not looking, they might kind of do. Guys are catching on. They know that they're being fished. These women are fishing for attention. And the guys are ignoring them. And when that guy goes away, you'll see her work out for a couple, 30 seconds more, and then she'll look for something else to work on, and it'll be near another good-looking guy. And I think, now I know this has been around for a long time, where women will look good and try to I even read an article like, you know, the gym is the new nightclub for pickup stuff. guys are not having it. Guys are just not having it at all because they're learning this is a game I can't win. Or maybe that guy already has a good-looking girlfriend. He doesn't need another one. Or he doesn't need the headache. Or he doesn't need the problems. And these women aren't going over next to the unattractive guys, I notice. It's always over around attractive guys. Well, when you've got attractive guys and they have girlfriends or they're in relationships, they're happy. Maybe they're happy. Maybe they're all set. These women are fishing for the top 10 or 20%, and they're not getting any action because those top 20, 10 or 20% of guys, at least in this area that I am currently, they've got girls more than likely. Or they're just not interested in the girls that are trying to float near them, and they're not getting any attention. So I find it interesting that guys, I think guys are slowly coming around to this stuff, and maybe it'll take a few more years, but I think men are learning, you know what, maybe this isn't the hassle, maybe this isn't worth the headache. I'm just not into it too much anymore. Guys, if you'd like to support my work, links are below. As always, if you have, thank you very much. Recently, I've gotten a Bitcoin donation. Thank you. I always enjoy getting that. I think it's the money of the future. And from PayPal. And you can join me over on betterbachelor.locals.com as well. We've got, I don't know, 16 or 17,000 people over there on the forums having a good time. It's my own little universe. And if you want to talk with like-minded people and get away from Twitter and Facebook and the rest of that stuff, join me over there. Guys, that's it for me. This is Better Bachelor. I'm Joker. And remember, you know, the more the laws get involved, the more the police and government and lawyers and judges and everybody can get into your love life, the faster you better get out of it. Because now it's not just a he said, she said. It's the fact that if anything goes wrong, you might end up just going to jail, even if it's not your fault.